You need the stems to be more than the food product and the yadis. And again, yadis are a part of the stem that is functional for the food. You want it connected to the food for some purpose. It could be to hold while eating the food. It could be to store the food, to carry it, to hang it. The Rambam in the Perish Mishnayos in the beginning of Maseches Uksin gives a number of examples of possible uses why you would want this stem connected to the food product. If so, if you do desire the stem connected to the food product, again, it has a din of a yad le'oichol, and it will have a halachic status regarding Kabbalah's Tumah of food. So that will be considered included in the food product. The amount of the stem that constitutes the yad will be included in the food product, leaving only the remaining stem to then need to be rove over the food product and its related yad, the stem that relates to the food product. Okay. So, we previously said, and we mentioned l'halacha, that we paskin Rav Menashe Bar Gada, that when you are koitzer l'schach, when you gather these items for schach, with the initial intention of using it for schach, you don't want the connection of the pasolus with the oichu, because the oichu is schach pasol. Rav Menashe Bar Gada understands this machlokes, that both opinions be in agreement with him, that ein yadis, there is no din yad, when your intention originally of taking the grapes with the vine, wheat with the shaft, was to use it for schach. The machlokes here, we said, was talking where shekoitzitzin la'achila, where you initially gathered these items for eating, and therefore desired in the stem to play a useful role for use of the food product. Melet had a din yad, and these stems, to the extent that they were a yad, were makabel tuma. And then v'nimlech aleihen l'sichuch, and then you decide you want to use it for schach. And the machlokas is, everybody's in agreement, again, when you took it, la'achila, it's going to be a yad. Yesh lehen yadis. It'll be makabel tuma, that part of the stem. You took it l'schach, no din yad. It's not makabel tuma, any of the stem. But when you took it, originally to eat, you took it for the use of the food product, and then you decide, I'm going to use this for schach, then we have a machlokes. That becomes a machlokes. Do we then say that because you've changed your mind, and now you're using it for schach, so now you don't want the stem connected to the food product, and therefore it would lose its status of yad, it would lose its status of Kabbalah's Tumah? Or do we say, you changed your mind, but we already set the standard. We already set the rule, and the yadis are makabel tuma. It has a din yad.
Is the food separated?
No, it's together. It's together, yeah, still attached. If it was separated, it would be fine. Let's continue. That's all background. That's just the background of what we got up to yesterday. Let's go. So, we say, yikotzitzin la'achil ma'itamay derabanan. What's the reasoning of the Rabbanan, i.e. the Tanakhama, that holds that there is no din yad in this case, where you gathered the food product, you gathered it with the stem, you gathered it for achila, and then you changed your mind and said, I want to use it for schach. What's the reason of the Rabbanan that they hold that it loses its din yad? So you'll say, easy. Once he changed his mind, he wants to use it for schach. So the fact that he changed his mind changes the status of the stem and takes it away from its yad status.
So if it was tuma before, still touching, and now it's changing its status, does it become untuma? It loses it?
If it's...
What's tuma? You want to use it...
Oh, if it actually became tame already? No, for sure it would remain tame. And we'll get into that.
Okay.
That is interesting. That's a good question. We'll talk after this year. The key sema... Does that work? You changed your mind. You gave it a status in machshava. Intention is what brought this part of the stem that constitutes the yad l'oichol to a status of Kabbalah's Tumah, to a status of yad. And now, intention, we say by the Rabbanan, they hold, should change that status. I intend to use it for schach. But we say that doesn't work. V'hatnan, we learn in the Mishnah. All kelim can attain their status of tuma, can be considered a kli b'machshava, but do not come out of that status, that original state of roi l'kabel tuma el b'shino maisa, unless through a act, unless through a shino maisa, physical act. And the case would be like this: I have a tanned hide. I want to use it as a tablecloth. It's a finished product. It's a big rectangle. Big rectangular hide. It's a tablecloth. I put it on my table. Machshava, my das, to stop here in the process, to consider it a finished good, renders it a kli and makabel tuma. However, if I then decide I want to use it as a belt, well, I have to cut a strip of the tablecloth and change its form. My intention now to use it as a belt does not say, oh, this is back in work in process inventory. This is no longer a finished good. This is no longer a kli and a complete thing to be makabel tuma. It's an undeveloped belt. My machshava doesn't do that. I have to take a knife to it and start cutting to then change its status. Until I do a maisa, I'm not maila it. I don't bring it out of that initial status that my machshava, my das, my intention, set it in. Okay. So maisa motzi miyad, maisa umiyad machshava. Maisa can be motzi, maisa, to change the status. An act to change the status will remove an object from its state of Kabbalah's Tumah, of roi l'kabel tumah, of a finished good, miyad maisa, whether it got there through a maisa. For example, I put a trimming on this tablecloth, I put a trimming on this hide to show it's a tablecloth. I did a maisa to show that it's a tablecloth. Still, I would have to do a maisa. Another maisa would remove it from that status by cutting it, obviously. Umiyad machshava. And maisa will also remove it from a status that it attained through machshava, through das and intention, as we mentioned before. But machshava, but just intention, changing your intention, changing your thoughts, in a motzi lumiyad maisa, lumiyad machshava, that's not motzi from anything. It remains in its original state of a finished product, of a kli, in this case, as a yad, it would be, until I actually do an act. Whether it got there just through my intention, or whether there's a physical action that I did to show that it had that original status. Miyad maisa or miyad machshava. Machshava will not be motzi from. Let's continue. So, b'kisei mahani kelim t'chashivi, aval yad estil tzarech chilin inu b'machshava nasi b'machshava salka. You'll say that's only by kelim, maybe, that this is true. Because by kelim, I rendered this object itself a distinct object that is worthy in and of itself of being makabel tuma. I rendered a kli, that's chashiv, that's makabel tuma. But over here by the yad, I didn't designate this yad as an object that in and of itself deserves or warrants Kabbalah's tuma. I simply put it under the umbrella of the Kabbalah's tuma of the oichel, of the food product, by saying that this is a tuffle. This is related to the food product. Therefore, it is receptive and included in the food product's tuma. But the actual right to have Kabbalah's tuma is related to the food product, not the yad. That's the way the Ritva speaks it out here. So these aren't really they themselves. I didn't change it. I didn't call it a kli. I didn't call it anything that it itself would become tame. I just said this is related to the oichel and therefore related and therefore shayach to the oichel's tuma, to the food's tuma. So there, okay, all I did was move it over here to this category. I didn't change its status. I didn't give it a different name. I'll just move it over to the other category, my machshava. There, I would think maybe machshava could be motzi from a status of Kabbalah's tuma that it originally obtained through machshava. That's a havamina, a thought of the Gemara at the moment. The Gemara throws that out. It's not possible. V'hatnan, kol yados ha'oichlin, shebosasun begoren tahoris. We say, all yados ha'oichlin. This is a Mishnah, Perek Aleph Mishnah Hei in Uktzin. All yad is ha'oichlin. Any yad of any food that has a status of yad related to the oichel, shebosasun begoren tahoris. That you were bosasun in the threshing floor are tahor. Basically, you took this object with an intention, letzarech achila, to eat it, and the yad, the stem, to the extent that it was a yad, had a function before the Oichel, therefore it was, at the moment, Shaykh the Kabbalah's Tuma. However, when you bring it to the threshing floor, at a certain point, Shibasasan, which is, again, you bring an object to the threshing floor to remove the stem from the food product. So this is showing that you don't want it, you're separating it. This is the Shinui, this is where we see that we'll separate it and end that status of a Yad. Then they become Tohar. What does it mean, Shibasasan? At what point in the process of the threshing floor do they lose this status of Yad, i.e., this status of relation to the Oichel, through the fact that you brought it to the threshing floor to remove it from the Oichel? Never loses its connection to the Oichel. At what point in the threshing process does this occur that they become Tohor? So there's a machlokes. One opinion holds basasan means hither agudin. It means that you undid the bundle and you spread this food product, you spread this wheat, for example, throughout the threshing floor for the purpose of then threshing it, going over it, or beating it with an instrument, or leading a ox or another large animal to walk over it. That's how they would break down the chaff from the wheat. So just spreading it out, by one opinion, that's what it means, shibasasan, and at that time it's tohor. Now just spreading it out would be considered machshava only. That's not doing a maisa to the object. Let's take the tablecloth. I want to make it into a belt, so I bring it into my belt workshop. That's still machshava, still a tablecloth. It's not a maisa until I take a knife to it, until I start to change its form. So through here, I spread it out. I'm ready to do the threshing. I've shown my das that I'm going to thresh it. I want it separated. I don't want it together anymore. By one opinion, that's sufficient. So, okay, so we say, Vashalam alamant amar basasin hitar agudin shapir. I understand by that opinion that basasin means undoing the bundle, spreading it out, and that would work. Because then you see, like we said before, that even though generally we say machshava is not motzi, change in intention does not remove an object from its pre-existing status of being receptive to tumah. However, by yadis la'oichlin, because I didn't designate this object itself as something that is worthy in and of itself of Kabbalah's Tumah, I just simply put it under the umbrella of the Oichel and said this relates to the Oichel, then my machshava to simply make it unrelated, to cut that relationship and say, no, I'm going to thresh it, would be sufficient. Because I don't have to change the definition of the object. Let's continue. So that by that opinion, we have an answer, and that could be the opinion of the Rabbanan. Good. And that would be the machloikes. Do we say by yadis that that machshava is motzi miyad machshava or not? Is yadis different or not? And the acherim would hold like the opinion in the Mishnah and Oxen that argues on that halacha, Rabbi Yossi Matame in the brackets. That's opinion of Rabbi Yossi there in the Mishnah. The acherim would hold it would still have a din. Yadis would hold no. Yadis are like anything else, and machshava is not moitzi, even miyad machshava, even by yadis. So that's one opinion of what would be the machlokis according to Rabbi Menashe bar Gada. Let's go into another idea. Ela lamanda amar my basasan basasan mamish, but by the opinion that's my basasan, what's basasan? At what point in the threshing floor process does it become tahor? Basasan mamish means when you actually thresh it, you're actually beating this food product with the shaft, with an instrument to separate the chaff from the food product, or leading a large animal over it. The actual threshing. So that's a maisa. You did a maisa already. So Michael Neymar. So then what would you say by the Rabbanan? Why here would the Rabbanan, by Sukkah, say that you can use the food product with the stem for schach? Because now, even though you were initially koitzrit la'achila, now you're v'nim l'chalel l'sichuch. We say, ein machshava motzi miyad machshava. So how could that work by the Rabbanan, to say it's kosher? You need a shina maisa. We say, hachanami shebasasan mamish. So to here, the cases where the guy threshed it, he did a maisa to show that I don't want these things connected l'tzarech achila. He did a maisa that would end the status of the yadis of la'achila, koitz la'achila, which would be basasan, to thresh it. Threshing shows I don't want it connected. And then he used it for schach. So that's the case here by the Rabbanan. He did a shina maisa to remove it from its initial status of koitz la'achila, then he used it for schach. We say, Hachi my tamayu de acherim. So what's Peshat by the acherim? Right? What's Peshat by the acherim that they say that it still is a yad? When you were koitzer at lachila, now using it for schach, and we're saying you did a maisa, that would warrant, according to the Tanakhama of that Mishnah in Uktzin, that would warrant a hefsik, an end to the status of Kabbalah's Tumah of Yadis, even if they were la'achila, in general. Why would we say that the status of Yad would carry over then to the Schach when you were Bosses and Mamish, you Mamish threshed it? So we say, the Emak Rabbi Yossi, because they hold like Rabbi Yossi, the Tanya, Rabbi Yossi, Omer, Titnan, the Mishnah says they're in Uktzin, Rabbi Yossi, Omer, Rabbi Yossi, Matame, Rabbi Yossi is Matame. Okay, as I mentioned before, there's a dissenting opinion on that Mishnah. So if that Mishnah is talking about threshing mamish, actual threshing, then that dissenting opinion, Rabbi Yossi, who is metame, will be arguing even in a case of actual threshing. Now, it's a little bit difficult to understand Rabbi Yossi. We can hear the Rabbanan very well. You did a maisa to show, I don't want it together. What is Rabbi Yossi's shita over there? So we say, hi, my vashlam al-hesam, time of the Rabbi Yossi, chazio lich the Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. Over there, the reasoning for Rabbi Yossi was that we say by Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi held that you still want it together. Even though you've threshed it, you still want the food product and the stem together. It still has a useful function and is still related to the oichel. Why? For the reasoning of Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. The Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, hoyo v'ru'uyos lahoifchin ba'atar. Since you are now, after the threshing, I'm going to speak it out according to the Tiferes Yisrael in the Mishnayos and Uksin, Perek Aleph Mishnah Hei, because there's a lot of understanding. See the Mishnah Achrona, see the Chazanish at the end of Kufton Vav, and there's a Shmatas L'Sim and Tavresh Chavtes. There's a lot there. This is not halacha, but this is the only understanding that I think follows through and is easy and makes sense to me. B'chassad Haiti. Okay, so so he says the following. He says like this. When you thresh, you don't always remove all of the food product. Your intention is to remove all of the food product directly in the threshing process by, again, chavila b'maklis, beating it with an instrument, or leading a para over it. But it doesn't always work. Some of the food is going to be still connected to the shaft, to the stem. So then, to remove it, you have to go with a pitchfork and be mahapech it, and turn it over. Similar to the malacha of Zerah by Shabbos, where you're throwing up a seed in the kernel, and then the wind will remove the kernel, and the seed will fall because of its weight. It's a similar process like that. So it's a secondary process. When the threshing doesn't get it all done, you come in with the utar. You come in with the pitchfork, and then you complete the job. And in order to do that, you need, to do the maisa of the pitchfork, you need the food product to be connected with the stem. Otherwise, it will fall through the holes of the pitchfork, the gaps in between the prongs of the pitchfork. So let's recap. That's what he's saying. The chazi, you need to connect it in order to do this next step in the process of haficha ba'atar. V'ru'uyas l'hofchen ba'atar. This is how far Rabbi Yossi goes. Now again, this is talking where you are intending to use the food, right? La'achila. So you're at the finish. You're really close at the end of the processing of this product, and this is the last step. Now, even though you initially did a maisa, the Rabbanan hold, you did the maisa to remove it. You showed in the threshing, the act of threshing by this lashon, you showed that you want it removed, and you did a maisa to the object itself to remove it. Oh, the maisa was not 100% effective. It wasn't totally effective. Okay, but it was still a maisa that was megali your das, that revealed your das and your intention, and thus would constitute a maisa to remove it from its status of a yad to the oichel. The stem would be then unrelated to the oichel and lose its status of a davar hamakabel tumah. Fine. By Rabbi Yossi, he says the following. He says, since the maisa was ineffective, and now the next step is to do aficha ba'atar, even though initially what you wanted to do was remove the product, and now what you want to do is remove the product, but you can't do that second step. The mechanics of that second step only work if they happen to be connected right now, and that's the step that you want to do, so then you need it connected to do that second step. He holds the fact that the first maisa was ineffective, did not remove all of the, although removed most, did not remove all of the food product from the stem, and now we're holding by a second step, therefore I still need it to be connected. I still desire, in that which is still connected, to be connected. That's how I understood that the Pharisees were all there.
Different than Rashi?
It could be fit into Rashi. Let's continue. So we say that's only there. Elahach l'may chazio. But over here, what's it roi for? Now again, over here, you're not doing the haficha ba'atar. We're talking here. We said shabasas and mamish over here. You mamish threshed it. But you're not threshing it because you want the food product. You're threshing it because you can't use it. Because you're threshing it because you want to remove the yados from their status of Kabbalah's tuma. That's why you're doing it. You want to use it for schach. You intended to use it for oichol. It became a yad, i.e. shayach to Kabbalah's tuma. You want to end that status. You want to use it for schach, probably to make it easier, because then you can use the entire stem for bittul berov against the oichol. So all you do is an act of threshing. You're not going to follow up with the haficha ba'atar here. So by Rabbi Yossi here also, it was effective. You did the threshing. Your intention was simply to show that you want it removed, and that would be sufficient. You showed that you wanted it removed. You showed that you no longer desire and it's being connected. There's no follow-up. So why here would Rabbi Yossi hold, assuming that the Acherim are going in the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, why would they hold that it still has a din of yad after the act of threshing? And that's what we're holding. Let's continue. So what does the Gemara answer? It answers, Chazya l'kisasar l'minkat l'hubigilayu. That you still have some purposeful use to view the stem as connected to the food product, that when you want to remove the schach from the sukkah, it's easier to remove the schach from the sukkah. Although even if it was disconnected, you could still have bittul berov if it's me'uruv. But if it's connected, the food product with the stem, then you simply take the edge of the branch and you can bring down all those grapes. You could take the edge of the chaff and bring down all the wheat. Otherwise, it would be much more tedious to remove the food product from the top of the sukkah when taking down the schach. So there's some aspect, even though it's very zaitig, even though it is beyond your initial kavana, at this time, you're looking schach, you're looking 7 days of sukkahs when you're doing this action. You're showing, I don't want it connected, because that's where I'm looking. Rabbi Yossi says there's another step that's beyond where you're looking. I think that's the dimion between the two cases. There's another step beyond where you're looking, and there, taka, it works out that it happens to be together. And that's enough to say that it's not a bittul of the initial machshava. That's to say that this maisa of threshing will not be enough to remove it from its original status. Okay. There's what to discuss on this. I want to make sure we finish the daf. But that's my understanding of the machlokas. That took me a long time. So if anyone has any other ideas, I'm totally open. Okay. Gufa. We're going to go through the discussion brought above. So again, that would be the machlokas of the Acherim and the Tanakama in the Brisa, would be a machlokas of those two Tanoim, the Tanakama and Rabbi Yossi, in the Mishnayos and Uksin. We have two understandings. We have to recap it so we know what we're talking about. There are two understandings. One understanding is machshava motzi miyad machshava for Kabbalah's Tuma by Yados, even though it wouldn't normally be by Kalim. That's one understanding, and that's the Yisod HaMachlokes of the Mishnah and Uksin, and thus of the Brisa brought in Argamon Yud Gimel Amud Beis. Or the second understanding is threshing the product. The item is threshing this item sufficient to say that I've ended my initial das. Is that considered a maisa to be motzi miyad machshava? Is that enough to say that I have been mevato, I have ended my initial das to desire the connection between the yad of the stem and the food product? Okay. So is machshava motzi miyad machshava by yadis? Case number one. Or is this a maisa to be motzi miyad machshava? Case number two. Okay. Now we're going to go back. We're going to go through that machlokes and uksin gufa kol yadas ha'ochlin shebasas b'gemar taharis, all yadas ha'ochlin that your basasun that you thresh or spread out, We'll see what that means. In the garment, in the threshing floor are tahor. The yad has become tahor. Rabbi Yosi matame and Rabbi Yosi holds that they're tame. My basasun, what's basasun? Rabbi Yochanan amar basasun mamish. Rabbi Elazar amar hiter agdan. Rabbi Yochanan's the opinion that it means actually threshing. Rabbi Eliezer, there's two opinions, two girsas. Rabbi Elazar amar hiter agdan. It means you undid the bundle. Vashlamal Rabbi Elazar. The amar basasun. So I understand, Rabbi Elazar. Amar Basasun, Hitaragdan, Hainu the Matame Rabbi Yosi. That's where Rabbi Yosi would be Matame. El Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Basasun, Mishamai Matame Rabbi Yosi. Why would Rabbi Yosi hold that it would be Tame, that it still has a Din Yad even after actual threshing? If you haven't yet threshed it, so okay, that's nothing. That's Machshava Ba'alma. Easy to hear that it should be like Kalim, which is the normal status, and it wouldn't be any different. Machshava wouldn't be Motzi Miyad Machshava. But by Rabbi Yochanan, that it's Maisa. That's Basas and Mamish, that's threshing, and Mamatami Rabbi Yosi. Why should Rabbi Yosi argue? And as we mentioned already, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Hoyo v'ru'uyos l'hoifchen ba'atar, because they're still needed, you still need that connection for the second stage of being mahapich ba'atar, of flipping it over with the pitchfork. Okay, and this is just because the Gemara mentioned this. We brought this in as part of our discussion. Now, Gufa, we're going to go back and just show what we were talking about. Really, this is shaykh to that Mishnah in Uktzin. Okay, I want to talk about something real quick. It's a good point. Yismach Moshe. A little bit of a break, because that was really heavy. Yismach Moshe says, Yismach Moshe is Rav Moshe Teitelbaum, the patriarch of Sefer Chassidus, and also maybe the patriarch of the stronghold of Chassidus in Hungary. He says the following, We say, Your yardin li detuma b'machshava vein oilin mitumasin ela b'shinam aysa. We know that a person can do an avera, can be yoreh l'tuma even b'machshavim with his das, right? We say in Gemara Yuma, kashin heruri avera, yosu min avera. But you need a maisa. We say a kimis v'sayim maisa. Speaking as a maisa, you have to do vidoi. Al chet shechatan alefanecha b'hiru alev. We have to do a vidoi, and we have to do a maisa to be moitzi from that tuma. We know that we say at the end of Yuma, Zedoyna, that shuva meyira, his zedoynas anasalo kishkagas. When you do shuva meyira, your zedoynas, your maisin that you did b'mezid become like a shaygeg. When you do tshuva ma'ava, tshuva out of love, repentance out of love for the Rabbana Shalalam, your averis, your zedoynas become like zechuyos, they become like mitzvahs. He explains this based on our Gemara in Parshas Bo. Says the Yismach Moshe, he says that when a person does tshuva ma'ira, he has a yira, he has a fear, so he's compelled to do the tshuva. So the Rabbana Shalom doesn't get any nachas from the act of the tshuva that had to happen memela. There was no intention, there was no drive, it was very easy, it happened automatically. It was driven by the machshava of yira. So therefore, all he was really masakein in his averas was the machshava. The maisa tshuva was compelled. There wasn't any oomph to the maisa tshuva. Therefore, all he did was take away the machshava. So by tshuva meyira, his adonis menasis lo kishkagis. His intentional averus became a shagig because he took away the machshava. But tshuva ma'ava, that's nasis lo kishkuyis. Because ava is hard to do. That he's putting into the maisa, that he puts into the tshuva. And there we say that the Rabbana Shalom gets such a nachas ruach from the tshuva. The whole point of the mitzvahs is to do the ratzon of the Rabbana Shalom. Be gerim a nachas ruach to the Rabbana Shalom. When a person does tshuva, such a rochik, somebody that was so far, some meshukah betuma, coming closer to the Rabbana Shalom, he gets an equal nachas ruach, and he gets the nachas ruach, we're mekayim ritzoinoi, through the avera. You wouldn't have been able to do the tshuva had you not done the avera. So the Rebaruch Ber speaks out, b'shem Reb Chaim, the avera becomes a hechsher mitzvah. It becomes a means of doing the mitzvah, part of the mitzvah of the tshuva. So therefore he says, by maisa, when it's tshuva ma'ava, the maisa tshuva itself is chashev, and there we say that that maisa is moitzi miyad maisa. So the actual maisa avera becomes a maisa mitzvah. Okay, let's continue. Amar Rebbe Elazar, lama nimshala tefilasin shel tzaddikim ke'atar. Why are the tefilas of the tzaddikim called like an utter, called like a pitchfork? Pasuk says, Vayater Yitzchak, when Yitzchak is davening for a child. Vayater Yitzchak. Also says, Paru asks Moshe, Hetiru Lashem, to remove the makis. Moshe davens, it's Vayater Lashem, except for a few places. Vayater Lashem, to remove the makis. When he davens, the Rabbana Shalom, to stop the makos by Yitzias Mitzrayim. We'll see in a second why that's very good. We say why the tefillas of the tzaddikim compared to an otter compared to a pitchfork. Just like this pitchfork moves the tevuah, moves the produce in the threshing floor from a place to place. It changes it, moves it here from there. After tefillas until tzaddikim ha'hafeches toito shel kodesh baruch hu memidas achzarius lemidas rachmanis. So too, the tefillas of the Rabbanu Shalom mahapech the das. The tefillas of the tzaddikim mahapech the das of the Rabbanu Shalom memidas achzarius. We change it. That's the very good by the Makis. To change, to stop the Makis. Agav, the Noim HaLemelech, you can't say this. There's like all the Sfarim talk about this. We'll talk real quick. Noim HaLemelech in the beginning of Parshas Tazria says, Isha ki Tazria v'yalda zocher. Isha we know is din. In general, the woman represents the din. We say, Isha yiras Hashem itis halo. We say, the Bas Yaakov, right? Yaakov's daughter was Dina. Dina de Malchusa Dina. We say, Kol kavod Bas Melech Pnima. The Bas Melech. And the Ish is Chesed. We say the Ish is the Mashpia, but says Ish Chesed. The Ish is like the Shemesh, the Ish is like the Levana, v'chulu v'chulu. We say Isha ki Tazria. The Isha ki Tazria v'yalda Zachar. That's what the Noam HaLemelech says there, Ayin Sham, that the Isha, when you're Mahapech the Din, Isha ki Tazria, v'yalda Zachar. Tazria, it's pointed out on that Noam HaLemelech, not really Benugia, that was pointed out by the Sfarim, that the Tazria is Gematria v'yater. Same Gematria, Tavresh Pei Zayin. Tazria Gematria v'yater. Isha ki Tazria, the Isha, the Din, through the v'yater, v'yalda Zachar. Becomes a Mashpia, becomes a Chesed. The Din's Mahapech Chesed through the v'yater. Okay. The Sefer that points that out is Sefer Be'ur HaChaim. Mesachachin New Mishnah. Let's talk a little bit halacha l'maisa. It's not, there's a big discussion halacha l'maisa on this issue. It's not the biggest issue, though, as much as Nesarim are. The Mishnah Berurah, because of different chumras, the Mishnah Berurah, because the Magen Avraham wants to say that l'maisa, to use this tevuah for Schach, in a case where you were koitzeret le oicho and nimlech le sichuch, right? If you were koitzeret le schach, it's fine. You see, there's no yad. But how are you mevatel the yad? And what do we view the yad as being? If you were koitzeret le oicho and then nimlech le sichuch. So the Mishnah Berurah says the following. Basically, there are different shiurim of what are the yad. What is the yad? Some are expressed in the Mishnah in Perek Aleph Mishnah Gimel in Uktzin. Many of the items of our Mishnah here, as to some are three tefachim, a tefach here, a tefach there, four tefachim, different shirim given the item. But others are not expressed, and some, the entire stem, would be a yad. So the Magen Avraham says that since some of the stem, in some cases, the entire stem is a yad, we're machmir. That's what the Magen Avraham says. So Mishnah Berurah understands the Magen Avraham to be overruling the Mishnah, in a chumrah, and saying we don't know how much of the yad would be, and therefore when we discuss putting this item up onto the schach, without threshing it, just putting it on, you're relying on bittul barov. He says we're always machmir to view the entire stem as a yad. That's the Mishnah Berurah. So you have to be mevatel it. You have to do a maisa to change it. You can't just put it on and rely on bittul barov, as mentioned in the brisa, which seemingly ikar din you would have. If the pasolos are more than the oichon and the yad, you have the barov, it's kosher. You don't have to do anything. So the Mishnah Berurah says, how do you do it? What shina maisa should you do? You would have to cut off the shiboles. Actually remove, physically, the tops of the wheat. You should not rely on threshing. That's his own shita. You would actually cut off the tops of the wheat and then use it for schach. However, with wheat that was gathered with a sieve, it was actually gathered with the sieve, it wasn't pulled out of the ground, there, if the yad, the medina hayad inu ka'ocha rakat shloshet tefachim, that there, for whatever reason, the Mishnah Berurah says you can rely upon threshing. Again, we did not explain the Gemara according to the Mishnah Berurah's understanding. The Chazon Ish argues on many of these pratim here. We're going to skip the Chazon Ish because I don't know if we do it l'maisa or not. I in the Chazon Ish, again, same place, kufnun vav. Let's continue. I want to finish. Mesachin ben Nesarim, new Mishnah. Mesachin ben Nesarim, you can be Mesachich with boards. Dibur Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir says it's usher. You cannot be Mesachich with boards. We're going to give a quick Akdam before we see the next halacha. Then we'll see the later on that the shear of schach pasul is dal tefachim by dal tefachim. Is a shear of schach pasul to pasul the sukkah. And we'll discuss the pratim of that later on. Now from the side, it's going to be dal tefachim. Because if you have schach pasul coming from the sides of the sukkah, as long as in the middle you have a 7x7 area, we'll say dovan akoma up until 4 amos into the sukkah. We'll bend the walls in until 4 amos in the sukkah. So from the side, schach pasul isn't going to pasul until 4 amos into the sukkah, in which case we wouldn't see dovan akoma, you would have schach pasul. Pasul the sukkah. Okay. So therefore, that's going to be going to get to the next halacha. Neser. Nasan aleh. Neser shirachav arba tefachim. You put on a board that was 4 tefachim wide. We didn't talk about how wide the boards are in the initial part of the Mishnah. We just said Masachim with the Sar, Rabbi Yehuda Matirs and Rabbi Meir Asers. Nasan aleh. Neser shirachav arba tefachim. If you put a neser, a board that's 4 tefachim wide on the side, kishera, it will be kosher. Ubilvad shalei yishan tachtav. The sukkah will be kosher because we'll say davan akuma, but you can't sleep under it because taka it's schach pasul when we've said davan akuma. You'd be sitting under the doifen, you wouldn't be sitting under the schach. Fine. That's at halacha, really talking in the case of davan akuma. Sukkah's kosher, davan akuma, lo yeshen tachtav. You can't sleep underneath it because you're not sleeping under the schach. You're sleeping under schach pasul or doifen, however you want to view davan akuma. Amar Rav, says Rav, machlokes benesarin shiesh behen arba. The machlokes is, what nesarim are we talking about that Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda are arguing in? Rav says they're arguing about nesarim that are 4 tefachim wide. The Rabbi Meir is like a zeris tikra, Rabbi Yehuda lays like a zeris tikra. Rabbi Meir holds that these boards that are 4 tefachim wide are similar to boards they would use for roofing, and therefore you would come to say, just like a zeris oitzer, I'm sitting in a structure that resembles a house. A case of tasavim and asoi. Even though the materials are kosher, it wasn't made l'shem tzel. So if I use this in my sukkah, gezeiras tikra, I might come to say, well, I could use a normal roof. This roof is a schach. What's the problem? People apparently weren't so aware of tasav lemina asui, something like that, and we find these gezeiras for it. So fine. Rabbi Yehuda, leisle gezeiras tikra, he didn't hold of that concern. So they're arguing by boards that are for tefachim, which are boards that would normally be used in most houses. Aval, Nisarm Shem Ben Arba, the Virakul Kesher, but Nisarm that are less than 4 tefachim wide, everyone holds as kosher according to Rav. Fine. So by Rav, they're only arguing by boards that are 4 tefachim wide. Shmuel Amar B'Shein Ben Arba Machloikis. Shmuel says no. Aval Yish Ben Arba, the Virakul Pesula. Shmuel says they're arguing where it's less than 4 tefachim, but where it's 4 tefachim, everybody holds of Gezeris Tikra, that would resemble normal roofing boards, and there they would hold that it's Pesul Mid Rabbanan because you might come to sit in your actual house. Which would be a Pesul, Tasavul Menasui. Okay. Ein ben arba, so we're trying to figure out what's the extent by Shmuel. We say they're arguing less than 4 tefachim. Ein ben arba, v'afilu pachas mishloisha. When you say they're arguing on boards less than 4 tefachim, does that mean even if they're less than 3 tefachim wide? Hakana ba'alma ninu. They would be kana ba'alma. They would be just like reeds. Rashi says that hakana ba'alma ninu v'im came by machshir. Like, what are you supposed to use already? What are you supposed to do already? That's what he says. It's not the difference of boards or kanim. It's an issue of how wide it is. But here, Pashas, we're talking only boards. Rashi seems to say, like, we know that boards are kosher. We know that Nisarim are kosher to a certain extent. Wood is kosher. So, if you're going to go less than 3 tefachim even, Hakana ba'amaninu, that's already kanim, that's already reeds, that's already sticks. And we know that that's kosher. Amar of Papa, so Papa says, Amar Yesh behen arbo divir ko pasulum. Shmuel meant that where it's 4 tefachim wide, the boards, everyone holds it's pasul. Pachas mishloshe divir ko kasheru, where it to be less than 3, everyone holds it's kosher. My time of why? Because Kana ba'amanino, it's only kanim. It's kana ba'ama, that's not boards, that's not roofing boards, that's reeds ba'ama. Ki pligi mishlosha ad arba. Where do they argue? They argue between 3 and 4. If the board is between 3 and 4 tefachim, i.e. 3 up until 3.99, that's the machlokes. Rabbi Yehuda holds you can use it for schach, and Rabbi Meir holds it's usur to use it for schach. Fine. That's the opinion of Shmuel. Mar Savar, and what's the svaras behind that? Mar Savar came in the lace no shir mokum lugazrin. And Mar Savar came in the nafke lumataris love gazrin on. Is it considered chashiv? Is it considered significant by itself? So Mar holds that since it came out of Taras Lovid, since it's a shir mokum, since it itself covers a significant area of Mar Savar came in the lace no shir mokum lugazrin on. Mar holds that since it's less than a significant area, we are not gozer on it. And Mar holds that since that's the opinion of Rebbe Yehuda, that since it doesn't cover 4 tefachim, which would be a significant area, a significant domain, of four tefachim that we were not gozer. It's fine. It's kosher. The other opinion holds no. This is a significant board, and we just view it as a reed ba'alma. This is a significant board because it's more than the sheer levud. Were it to be an airspace, we'd possible the sukkah. We'd see it as an open airspace. We wouldn't be able to close it. So to this board, taking up that airspace is significant. You see, Araya, a little bit that you need a single board in a normal roof should cover a significant domain from the pasuk in Sefer Bereishis that Lot says, Akim bo'u b'tzel karasi. I thought that was a raya. He says, they'll come under my kara. Kara is a single board. And he sounds like they're all sitting under that one board. So you see that one board covered a significant rishus, covered a significant area that people would be living under. Okay. And we'll have to stop there, I guess. So that's the yesod of the machlokas. Finished till the end, but that's the basics. So we're just going to go through it. So the Magar just goes through this machlokas once we got it down. Again, Rav holds that they're arguing by four tefachim, less than four tefachim, everything's kosher. Shmuel holds four tefachim, everything's puzzle. They're arguing between three and four tefachim. We'll get into it in a second. Let's start 5:45 tomorrow, and I'll tell you what. It's not so bad. I'm going to do it. I can do it.